Genesis 6 reads as follows. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How does the Lord see us? How does he see you? When he looks upon you, what does he see? So much is conveyed by a look, by the eyes. When somebody's eyes meet another's, there is so much conveyed. We look to the eyes of those whom we love to see their affection conveyed through their eyes, through their look. And we hide our eyes, our gaze, from the eyes of those who are angry with us. When a child offends its parents, how they dare not look at the parent's gaze, into the parent's eyes. There is so much conveyed in a look, so much conveyed by the meeting of the eyes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord looked upon Noah in a way in which he did not look upon the other wicked people in the world in Noah's age and generation. God was wroth with the wickedness of man, the rebellion of man since the fall. God created mankind upon this earth. He created Adam and Eve in innocence. And Adam disobeyed the command of God and turned against him. And man multiplied upon the earth, and the wickedness of men multiplied. And God repented that he had created man and purposed to destroy him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And yet Noah himself was no different from anyone else, not by nature, not by birth. He was born just like they were, a sinner by birth, a rebel by birth, a liar by birth. He was but a wretched sinner, just like all those around him. But in the eyes of the Lord, he found grace. There came that time in his life when the Lord approached him, when the Lord made himself known unto him, when the Lord opened the eyes of Noah to see that which was hid from others, when the Lord changed Noah's heart, when the Lord gave spiritual life unto Noah and caused Noah to see and to hear the gospel, to see and to hear the Lord and the gospel of his grace in his Son. The Lord caused Noah to believe Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. Have you? Have you? How does God see you? What did God see in Noah? What was there in Noah that caused God to be gracious unto him? In himself, nothing. By nature, Noah, as I've said, was just like others. In himself, he was nothing but sin. There was nothing in Noah that God should approve of him. What Noah came to be as a preacher of righteousness, as a just man, as he is described in verse 9, was a result of God's grace, was a consequence of God's coming under him and changing him through the truth of the gospel. But until then, Noah was a wretched sinner like all others. There was nothing in him, and there is nothing in you or I that God should show grace unto Noah or unto us. There's nothing in man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because God looked at Noah through his son. God looked upon his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in looking upon his own son, whom he gave as an offering, a sacrifice for sinners, whom he offered up in the place of sinners, whom he offered up in the place of Noah, by looking upon his son, God saw Noah in Christ. And God saw Noah in his son as perfect. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. Why? Because Noah in Christ was perfect and just, and walked before God in perfect faith and harmony with God's will. God looked upon Noah in his son. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because the eyes of the Lord were set upon his own son. And Noah was hidden within him. Hid within Christ. Perfect. Yes, there was nothing in Noah himself but sin and rebellion and unbelief, just like you and just like me. Yet in the eyes of the Lord, Noah found grace. Have you? Have you? What do the eyes of the Lord see in you? What does the Lord see when he looks upon you? What did the eyes of the Lord see in this world? What did they see in the days of Noah? We read, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. It goes on later. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth." There's nothing random here in this phrase, "it came to pass." All the events recorded here are not of chance. They're not random. Men didn't just go about doing what they pleased and God reacted to them. But all of this is in the purpose, the sovereign will of God. Just as in the garden when Adam fell and rebelled against his maker. God knew that it would happen when he breathed life into Adam. God knew that it would happen before ever he spake on the first day of creation and began to bring this world into being. God placed man upon this earth knowing he would fall, knowing he would rebel, knowing that wicked sinners would turn against him. But as soon as Adam fell, and God came unto him and found him in the garden, trying to cover up his nakedness, his shame, his sin from the sight of God, God slew animals and clothed Adam and Eve with those animal skins. God shed blood in order to clothe and cover their sin. As soon as they fell, the mercy of God in the gospel was made known. God would have these things come about in order that he would show grace and mercy and love unto his chosen people. Adam sinned in order that God should show forth his love in sacrificing another, his son, on his behalf. And this generation in Noah's day sinned greatly in order that God should magnify his righteousness in justice in judging the whole world at the very same time that he showed forth his grace, mercy and love unto Noah and his house in delivering him. It came to pass exactly as our sovereign God purposed. There's no chance here. This is an outworking of God's purpose and a declaration in Noah's day and in our day of both the judgment and wrath of God to come and the mercy and grace of God in the gospel through his son. Adam sinned. Death entered the world. And mercy and grace were shown unto him. Men sinned. God sent a flood and destroyed man from the face of the earth. And mercy and grace were shown unto Noah and his house. God magnified his grace. Mercy and truth kissed one another. Man multiplied upon the face of the earth. The sons of God, the men that God had created, took of the daughters of men and multiplied and had children and became mighty men of renown. They were giants, mighty men. Men of renown, men of fame. Man grew and prospered just like he does today and was applauded by others. His pride puffed him up. Oh, how great he was. Oh, how powerful he was. Oh, how strong he was. He could go around in the world doing what he wished, becoming as rich and powerful as he desired, receiving the applause and the acclaim of others, whilst turning his back upon Almighty God that made him, that sustained him, that gave him everything he had and everything he was. Man increased in his might and turned his back upon God, just like you do and just like I do. We go forth from the womb, we grow up until we're adults, and we go through our life turning our back upon God as though he's not there. As though we're in control. As though every breath we take, we're in control of it. As though we make our own hearts to beat. As though everything we find in this world is for us and for our taking. All the time God is granting us life. All the time God is making this world perform in its motion such that the plants grow and food is brought forth and we can live off the crops of the land and we can live off the animals that are brought forth. All the time God sends forth heat from the sun and light from the sun. He sustains life upon the earth, and yet we live as though he's not there. As though these things are perchance. As though the world came into being by some random mistake in the past. As though there's no God, there's just matter. What fools we are. Proclaiming ourselves to be wise, we have become fools. As Paul says in Romans. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Everything we think, all our thoughts, all our understanding, except God enlighten us, except God come in the gospel unto us and open our understanding, all our conclusions about everything are false. Paul echoes this in his account in Romans. Just as we see here in the days of Noah that the wrath of God was kindled against man. He repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Just as God's wrath was kindled against the wickedness of man in that day, Paul echoes that nothing has changed. That brought forth an actual result in the time in which they lived. But God's wrath is continued to be kindled against all the unrighteousness of men today. And there is judgment which will come down in fire upon us all. Except we be found in the place that Noah was. Except we find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Except God takes us like he took Noah and places us in an ark. The ark Christ Jesus. As Paul writes, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth in their unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They knew in Noah's day. They knew the world around them declared the handiwork of God. And you know, in our day, we know there is a God. But the imaginations of our heart, the foolishness of our hearts, close our eyes to him, close our ears to him, close our hearts to him. So that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What Paul writes there describes exactly what happened to this generation of Noah's. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Their foolish hearts were darkened, like yours, like mine. And God declared he will not always strive with man. Man may shake his fist unto the heavens. Man may go his own way like God doesn't exist. But God is in control. God says, I'll not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. He's nothing. He's of the dust. So his days shall be 120 years. This is man who before this time, there were those who lived over 900 years. From the dawn of creation, though death had entered, there were those who lived for hundreds of years. But from this day, God said, no, I'll cut your life down. You'll live no more than 120 years. And in our generation, the average, we could say, is 70. Our lives are brief, they're but a span. And the days of our life have been set by Almighty God. You can strive with your Maker all you like, but he won't strive with you forever. He knows when he will bring you forth, and he knows when he will take you out of this world. How small the clay is in the potter's hands. He takes us, he makes us, he smashes us to pieces. And we, like little insects, run around like we're mighty giants, squeaking away whilst trodden underfoot. Oh, the wickedness of man. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. There is nothing hid from his eyes. We read in Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees everything. He sees everything we do out in the open, everything we do in public, everything we do in private. He sees everything we do and say in before our friends and family. He sees everything we do alone in our room. He sees everything we do outwardly. He sees everything we do inwardly. He sees and hears and knows our thoughts and intentions within. We may tell ourselves, we may tell others, well, I did this because I was meaning to do that. I did this out of good intentions. We can deceive others. We cannot deceive the God that looks upon the heart. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. In this place, in your place, in your heart, in your life. He sees and records and hears and knows everything that you've thought, everything that you've said, everything you will think today, everything you will say today. He knows where you're heading. He knows what you want. He knows your heart. And he knows from times of old and today, until this world is no more, that man's heart is wicked. That every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. Evil continually. There is no good in man. The great message we hear from so much of false religion, or so much of the wisdom of this world, is that there's good in humanity. That there's some innate goodness in all of us. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we may get things wrong. But generally, we're okay. What a deceit. People will act in an outwardly civil manner when nothing gets in their way. But as soon as they want something, they will be prepared to destroy all that get in their path. As soon as a man wants something, he will kill to get it. It only requires the right circumstances, the right passion, the right events to come about to bring forth the true heart of man. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the same is true of you and I by nature. The consequence of this is that it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. He was grieved, not in the sense that he felt he'd made a mistake, because God purposed all these things from the beginning. He knew these things would come about. But the Lord uses language here to show us the consequence of sin, to show us the impact of our rebellion and our hatred of God upon the heart of God. It grieves him. It grieves him to see that which he has created and made act so rebelliously, so wickedly, so unthankfully. It grieved him. And his justice would have to respond to it. God is a righteous God. And he could not let this pass. So he declares in perfect justice and righteousness, as man has done these things, so I must and I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. His justice must come forth. And if you rebel against Almighty God in your life and go through your life without ever turning to him or repenting of your sin or turning from your sin, if you go through life, if I go through life in blindness and darkness, never knowing God, never seeking God, never believing God, never trusting God, but seeking my own glory and my own way, then God's justice will, it must, be met upon us. It will come down upon you and I, just as it did upon this people in Noah's day. Noah was commanded of the Lord to make an ark for the saving of his house. God put Noah and his family in that ark and shut the door. And the judgment that Noah had preached to his generation, the storms, the flood that he had warned them of, which they derided, which they laughed at, which they mocked, which they said, "You're a madman, Noah," came down. Just as he prophesied, just as he preached, it came down and destroyed them all. And though when the floods came and the ark lifted up upon the waters and the storms came and man had no refuge, though they may have tried to grab hold of the ark and bang on the ark and cry out to open the door and let them in, he could not. It was too late. The judgment, the wrath came just as he preached, just as he promised, just as he warned. Yet they would not listen. They said, "No, Noah, away with you. You're a fool. Get away. We don't want your gospel. We don't want your righteousness. We don't want your foolish talk of floods and rain. We don't want your God." And that God, whom they rejected, sent forth the storms of his judgment, of his righteousness, and they all perished. So today, as we read in Romans, the wrath of God is kindled from on high against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness, who resist it, who hold it back, who say, "No, we don't want to hear." And yet throughout this world, in every day and generation, today, God sends thunderclaps and warnings, even in creation, of his almighty power and justice. There will be storms this day in which people die. There will be floods in which people are swept away. There will be fires which burn people's houses and destroy them. There will be tsunamis that come in the months to come and flood people's homes and sweep them away to the point where they perish. There will be earthquakes which swallow up homes and houses and people alive. God continues to send these warnings in every age and generation, and how foolish we are that we think we can stand against him. We cannot stand in the face of nature. We've seen this recently with the tornadoes and hurricanes in America. We hear of hurricanes every season that come, and man can't do anything about it. When the hurricane comes and destroys the cities, when it's gone, people come and try to clean up the mess and do what they can to help those who have suffered, but they cannot do anything in its wake. So God sends these warnings in a practical, in a natural sense. He sends his warnings and we do not listen. But most of all, he sends his warning as he did in Noah's day. Noah, as he built the ark, preached the righteousness of God. Noah preached unto his age and generation that there's a God that shows grace. He'd found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He declared unto those around him, I found grace. My God has shown grace unto me. He's shown me what a sinner I am. He's led me unto him. And this ark is for the saving of my house. He's provided a way of escape. There's a judgment coming, yes, but he will save. Won't you turn? Won't you believe? Won't you look to this God that's shown grace unto me? He preached the gospel. And so we come unto you today. And we say, yes, we're all wicked. Yes, the wrath of God is kindled from high against us. Yes, judgment will certainly come. But there's a way of escape in an ark through the storms. There's one called Jesus Christ who has died in our place, who has shed his blood to cover us from the wrath and judgment of God. There's a Saviour. The grace of the Lord has been made known. Look unto him, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. We preach the righteousness of God as Noah did. And as in the days of Noah, as Christ said, people will give in marriage. People will be feasting and drinking. People will be multiplying on the face of the earth just as they were then. And then the end will come. And the judgment of God will come. And they will flee to the mountains, and the mountains will not save them. They will cry out to be spared as they were in the day of Noah, and they will not be spared. But as in that day, Noah preached the gospel. And we preach the gospel today. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Just this one man in the midst of this generation, God chose him. He said, but Noah, I will save. Noah will be spared, and Noah and his house will be set forth as an example throughout time, throughout eternity, of my grace and my salvation. I will not destroy this world. I have come to save a people in an ark brought through the storm. And I will make known this grace and this salvation throughout all the ages. O world, O man, O sinner, hear. Hear, my son, behold the Lamb of God. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Noah found grace. As soon as we read of judgment in this passage, as soon as we read of God's intention to destroy man because of his wickedness, we also read of the grace of God shown unto Noah. For this ultimately is God's purpose and sets forth his character. Mercy and truth meet, judgment and grace meet. They all met at one. As soon as sin entered the world and Adam sinned, God came and slew the animal. His judgment came down. And he used the very same animal that he slew to clothe Adam and Eve with salvation. As soon as God's wrath was kindled against this generation and he sent this flood down, he put Noah and his family in an ark and saved them. He showed them grace. Wherever you read of the judgment of God, you will read of the grace of God. Because ultimately, God is a God that delights in showing mercy. This is his purpose. This is why he sends his gospel. This is why we're sent to you to preach this gospel. Not to warn you and scare you of the wrath to come, but to point you to salvation. You don't need to die. You don't need to be flooded and burnt. But we choose to be because we don't want the God that comes in grace and salvation. We say no, even though he presents his son unto us and says, "Behold my son." His son came into this world preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and those whom he came unto rejected him. He came unto his own and they turned away from him. They said, "Away with this man, we will not have him to reign over us. Crucify him, crucify him." Is that what your foolish heart says of this Son, of this Saviour, of this Christ, of this salvation? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As soon as we read of judgment, we read of grace. And they all meet in the same place. They all meet in Christ. The very judgment that rained down upon that world that destroyed the wicked rained down upon the ark which saved Noah and his house. The very same judgment that came down upon the ark upon Christ is the same judgment which destroyed the wicked outside. And the whole destiny of every individual that has ever lived in this world was brought about upon the cross. Judgment and mercy met in that one place, in those hours of darkness upon the cross. You are either found in the ark, in Christ, as he suffered and hung upon the tree, and you found grace in the eyes of the Lord, or you will suffer outside of him. God's judgment and wrath came down upon the whole world. Now is the judgment of this world, Christ said. At this hour, he rained down judgment upon Christ. And that judgment either falls upon you outside of him or inside of him. Where does God see you? In Christ or out of him? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the first time that we read of grace in the Old Testament in the whole Bible. This is the first reference to grace. And if we continue to read throughout the scriptures, the multitude of references in the Old Testament, indeed the very first 26 times we read the word grace in the Old Testament, we always read of it as being found in someone's sight. We don't read of grace as an abstract quality. We don't read of grace as the Lord just showing grace to someone. But we always read of somebody finding grace in somebody's sight. "Oh, that I might find grace in thy sight. So-and-so found grace in so-and-so's sight. So-and-so found grace in the Lord's sight." It's always in their sight. Either in the eyes of another or in the Lord's eyes, but always in the sight of someone. Grace is very much a question of how we are looked upon by the Lord. Does he look upon us graciously? Or does he look upon us in wrath and judgment? How does he see you? Does God look upon you with gracious eyes or with angry eyes? God sees all. His eyes are over all his creation. He sees within, he sees without. He sees the heart. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. 2 Chronicles 16:9 reads, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. He's looking throughout out this world. He's looking at every event. He's watching every event. He sees everything that is done. And there are those who do wickedness in the eyes of the Lord. And there are those who, by God's grace, do that which is right. We read of David that David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. What he did was in the sight of God. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But elsewhere we read, for example, that Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. What you do is seen. Don't kid yourself. Don't fool yourself. God sees and God keeps account. God knows. There's nowhere we can go to hide. 1 Peter 3:12 tells us the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But not those wicked who rejected him and his message. In this time, God saw the wickedness of man, the evil imaginations of his heart, his rebellion, and mankind found wrath and judgment in the eyes, the face of the Lord. How are we seen? Not Noah, he found grace. Because he was different, better than the rest? No, he was the same. But God loved him. He was the same, but God chose him. He was the same, but God looked upon him in mercy, with compassion. He was the same as the rest, but God set his grace upon him. God saved him and his house. Through the works of Noah, through the faith of Noah, through the decision of Noah, the will of Noah, no. Through the grace and the will of God. God chose Noah in Christ his Son. God looked upon, God saw Noah in Christ. God saved Noah in Christ. God judged Noah and his sins in Christ. God crucified Noah and all that he did and all that he was in Christ. God made Noah righteous in Christ. God showed grace unto Noah in Christ. God saw Noah in Christ. Where does God see you? How does he view you? Have you found grace in the eyes of the Lord, or his wrath and his judgment? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Father looked upon his Son and saw in him Noah. Noah looked to the Son. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else, we read. Therefore will I look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me, Micah writes. Noah looked unto the Son, and God looked upon his son and saw Noah in him.
Where are you looking?
Where are you looking in your life? Where are you looking for hope? Where are you looking for happiness? Where are your goals set? What are you striving towards? God looked upon Noah in grace, in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that grace, Noah was brought to look unto Christ. The ark was his only hope. And yet, what did Noah's sins do unto the Son who saved him? What did Noah's own heart, the evil imaginations of his heart, the thoughts of his heart which were evil continually, what did Noah's heart, what did his sins, what did his iniquity do to the very Saviour, the very Son under whom he looked for salvation? How did the Christ to whom Noah looked for salvation save Noah? Noah's sins pierced the Son of God. And you, O believer, if you look to Christ, your sins brought down the judgment of God upon him. They pierced him. Noah's sins pierced the Son of God. His sins slew him. The very one that he looked to save him, his own sins slew him. He was the cause of Christ's death. He was the cause of Christ's suffering. He was the cause of this storm that came down upon the world. Forget the others in the world. Forget the wicked all around that were outside the ark. This storm crashed down upon this world because of Noah. But in spite of all that Noah was and Noah did, God took him, showed grace unto him, and shut him in the ark and spared him the judgment. It hit the ark. It rained down upon Christ. But Noah felt nothing. Noah's sins slew the Son of God. They caused his blood to be shed. Noah looked upon him whom his sins pierced. He looked upon Christ and knew that Christ suffered for him because of his sins, his iniquity, his unbelief. Just like those at the cross when they saw Christ crucified, nailed to the tree, and they saw him suffering there. They saw the wrath of God spiritually come down upon him. They saw the light of the sun taken away and the darkness come down upon all the face of the earth. They heard the thunder. They heard the earthquake. When Christ cried out, "It is finished," they knew that the veil of the temple was rent in two. They heard the earthquake. They knew something miraculous had happened. And when they beheld him hanging on the cross in the light, the scriptures say, if they look, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Oh yes, the soldiers took him and nailed him to the tree. But those whom God showed grace unto looked upon Christ and knew that their sins, their rebellion, their unbelief is what pierced him to the tree. Have you looked upon him? Did your sins pierce him? Did your sins put him there? Yes, Noah looked to the Son, and the Father looked upon his Son. And the Father looked upon the blood that his Son shed. We read in Exodus of the Passover, "The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." What happened in the day of Passover? when God sent judgment and spared his people who were covered by blood, happened in Noah's day, when the wrath of God rained down against the sins of men and spared Noah because of the ark. The pitch, the blood upon the ark, that blood-covered ark, that blood-covered sacrifice, the Son of God. The wrath of God poured down upon it, and when God saw the blood, he passed over Noah. He saw the blood of his son, which paid the price for Noah's sins. That was seen in the ark. The ark was pitched within and without, with kaphar, with pitch, with blood. Noah looked to the ark. He looked to the blood on the outside. And the blood on the inside, the blood that Christ shed on the outside and the blood that God took and sprinkled in Noah's heart within. Noah trusted by the grace of God in that blood shed for him, that he knew, that he experienced. God had come unto him in the gospel. God had shown him Christ through the picture of the ark. God had pointed him to the kaphar, the pitch. And God had said, this is the blood which covers your sins. And God took that blood and put it without and within. He covered Noah outside and inside. He sprinkled it in his heart. He gave him faith to believe. The blood. When God saw the blood, he passed over Noah. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, God says. Noah looked to the blood, the ark, for the saving of his house. Will God see the blood covering you? The same judgment rained down against sin upon all, Noah and everyone else alike. But for Noah, he was hidden in the ark. He was out of sight. He was covered. He was in Christ, covered by the blood, the pitch. That blood covered him inside and out. It kept the judgment out of sight. When God looked, he saw the ark. He saw the pitch, the blood. He saw Christ. But Noah was out of sight. Covered. Hid. Where are you in the sight of God? Are you outside the ark, there with your wickedness, there with your rebellion, in full sight? Does God look upon you and see everything that you are and everything you've done and everything you think and find you guilty? Or does he look for you and cannot find you? Because by his grace he's taken you and put you inside his son, inside the ark, and shut the door and pitched it within and without. He's covered you in the blood of his own son. And when his judgment, his wrath comes looking for you and your sins, he cannot find them. Your sins have been cast aside as far as the east is from the west. You're covered in blood. You're white as snow. You're perfect. All he can see is the righteousness of God in his own son. That righteousness with which he judged him, which covered you, which shed his blood, for which he suffered and endured, but which kept you out of sight. Is that where he sees you? Outside or in? And where are you looking? Where are you looking? Are you looking to Christ, his blood, the ark for the saving of your soul? Or are you looking to your own strength and wisdom and will? Will you say, well, when I pass from this world into eternity, I'll take my chances. I'll stand before God. I'll hope that he sees me as a good person. And will he see you for what you are? That every imagination of the thoughts of your heart throughout all your days was only evil continually. And he says of you, I will destroy this man, this woman, this child whom I have created from the face of the earth. Or does he see you in his son? What does God see when he looks upon you? Your sins or the blood of Christ? You or the ark? You a sinner or Christ the righteousness of God. God chose Noah in Christ. Has he chosen you in Christ? God saw Noah in Christ. Does he see you in Christ? God saved Noah in Christ. Has he saved you in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? God judged Noah in Christ. God crucified Noah in Christ. Has he judged you and crucified you in his Son? God made Noah righteous in Christ. Has he made you righteous in Christ? God showed grace unto Noah in Christ. He saw him in Christ. Has he shown grace unto you in his Son? Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, may God be pleased through his gospel, through his Son, through his grace, to show grace unto us in his sight. Amen.